wonderful message to hear first thing in the morning. This is John Thrasher, and you're listening to Morning Devotions for the next 30 minutes.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, almighty God is He. Bow down before Him.
He does not lead me year by year, or even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. As God directs my way, I cannot know tomorrow's plans, I only know this minute. And He will say, "This is my way, by faith now walk ye in it." And I'm glad that this is so. Today's enough to bear, for when tomorrow comes, His grace will far exceed the care. What good to worry then or fret? The God who gave His Son holds all my moments in His hands and gives them one by one. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? Jeremiah 13, verse 23, certainly presents the total hopelessness of human nature to ever, through its own efforts or energy, please God. For he says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." In other words, it is absolutely impossible for you and me to quit our sinning and break our habits to the degree that we would then be found pleasing in God's sight, because it is just as impossible to change from sin to righteousness as it is for the Ethiopian to change the color of his skin or the leopard his spots. But that's where Calvary comes in. And Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Thank God for Calvary, because what is impossible to human nature becomes possible through grace. Philippians 2, verse 13, "For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." I understand this verse of Scripture to mean that it is God who even gives to you the desire to love him and to please him. "For it is God who worketh in you both to will." He puts within you that divine purpose. He puts within you that wish, that desire, that longing in the heart to be found pleasing in him. You can't muster it up by yourself. You can't just suddenly say one day, "Well, I think I'm going to try to please God. I'm going to have a desire for the Lord." Because it is God who initiates that hunger and that longing. It's all of grace. We cannot change our way of living any more than the Ethiopian can change its spots, or the leopard his spots, the Ethiopian the color of his skin. Neither can we suddenly quit our sinning and be found pleasing in God's sight. We don't even have a desire to do it unless the Holy Spirit initiates that desire and puts the hunger within the heart. "It is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So after he has put the longing in the heart to please God, then he gives the ability within the soul to do it. But it is not human effort. It is the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. "For if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And it's all because of Calvary. Calvary. My situation is absolutely hopeless and helpless until Jesus comes in. And when he takes control, then what was impossible by human nature and human effort now is gloriously possible because of grace. When grace touches the heart, he makes the difference. Oh Lord, come into this house. Occupy every room in my heart. Is that your desire? Do you want Christ to enter every room within your heart? Or do you have some secret closet where you keep some things that you don't want anybody to know about? Well, that's rather ridiculous, because even though others may not know about it, God always knows. And you may fool everybody else, but you can't fool him. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there," said David. "If I descend into hell, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, Lord, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand hold me." So that secret closet that you've got in that little dark corner of your heart, that you keep it all locked under key, God knows what's in it. And those are the very things that make one miserable anyway. Why not give it up and make a full surrender? Do you know what the Lord wants from you and me? When he asks for absolute surrender, he wants us to surrender up those things that make us miserable so that he can make us happy. Don't think for a moment that serving Christ is something that is so rigid and straight-laced that you can't have any enjoyment in life, no fun in life. Nothing could be further from the truth. When the love of God comes within the heart, He brings a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the things that God wants us to surrender to Him are not the things that bring wholesome and beautiful joy and happiness, and then in turn just make life drudgery and miserable. He wants you to surrender those things that bind you, that captivate you, that haunt you, that disturbs your peace of mind and takes away the joy of soul. The things that make you miserable, say yes to God. Empty every secret room of your heart. Give the Lord the key to everything. Say, Lord, here I am. And remember, you can come to church, sing in the choir, and pray beautiful prayers, and work hard on committees, and you can fool everybody else, and they may think that you're really a person of God, but the Lord knows your heart. And you can fool the preacher. A lot of people fool me. But nobody fools the Lord. God knows where you're coming from. He knows who you really are. And so wouldn't it be a good prayer for us to pray this morning, O Lord Jesus, come into my heart and fill every room in this house of mine. Take away everything that is negative, everything impure, and fill me with your fullness, with your beauty, with your holiness, with your goodness, and with your joy and your peace. Lord, fill my heart. Come into this house. What a beautiful thought expressed in song. Move into this house, O Lord. My heart, fill and occupy every room therein. And this is made possible because of Calvary, because of what Jesus did for you and me. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We are weak within ourselves. We're weak in the sense that we can't really please God by our living. You may be successful. You know, I can just hear some of you protesting when I say we are weak, and you would say, no, I'm not. I'm strong. Look at me. I'm successful. I've made a go of life. I've pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I'm a man's man. Well, maybe you are successful, and maybe you do have a lot of strengths. But that means nothing to God as far as spending eternity with Him forever and ever. I'm talking about having a heart that pleases God. I'm not talking about becoming a millionaire and being successful in life. Maybe you are very strong in those areas. And you're a self-made man or woman. Maybe that's all true. But when it comes to standing before God, your heart is empty. And your soul is weak. You remember Isaiah chapter 6 of his book? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. The Shekinah glory of God filled the house. And he heard the angels, the seraphim, saying one to the other, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post moved at the voice of him that cried, and the whole house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah cried out and said, Woe is me, for I am undone, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And one of the angels took some tongs and took a coal of fire from off the altar and laid it on the prophet's lips and said, Behold, thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Well, the point I'm trying to make is we can think of ourselves as pretty strong, pretty successful, until we catch a glimpse of Jesus, when we look at Calvary and we stand before the holy, almighty God. And then, like Isaiah, we'll cry out, Woe is me, for I am undone. Lord, I thought I knew something, but now I see that I knew nothing at all. Lord, I thought I was very strong, but now I see that I am ever so weak, and I need Jesus. I need the effects of Calvary. Job, in his book, thought he had a lot of answers, and he was even accusing God of unfair treatment. And he kept saying things like, Oh, if I only knew where to find him, I would come to God and fill my mouth with arguments and I would demand answers from him. Well, finally, when God did answer Job and speak to him, and God said, Job, gird up now thy loins, stand up like a man. I'm going to ask you some questions and I want you to answer me. Where were you when I made this world, when I laid the foundation stone? Where were you when the sons of God sang for joy? Are you old enough, Job, that you were living back in those days? Answer me. And God began to speak to him of the wonders of the universe. And when he got through, the Bible says that Job put his hand over his mouth and he said, Lord, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And I abhor myself in dust and ashes. I talked about things that I didn't know what I was talking about. Well, you know, that's pretty much the way it is with us. We just talk so much, and we don't even know what we're talking about. We give expression to things. We think we're ourselves to be so strong. And then when we see Jesus in his holiness and greatness, we humble ourselves and say, Woe is me, for I am undone. Lord, I really thought I was somebody, but now that I have seen you in your purity and holiness and greatness, I realize that without God, I am nothing. I am absolutely nothing. And I take my problems to Calvary. I may be strong in a lot of areas, but when it comes to living for God in a way that is pleasing to him, I simply cannot do it unless the power of the cross work effectively within me. So, dear friend, take your problems to Calvary today.
My troubles to come. I took my problems to Calvary. Some music written by Ira Stanfill. He wrote many moving hymns. This one may not be very familiar to you, but I'm sure you'll recognize the next one, which I think is the best one that he wrote. Out of the varied experiences of a fruitful life have come many moving hymns by Ira Stanfill. As a child, he traveled by covered wagon from Arkansas to New Mexico. He was born in 1914. Then he later moved to Oklahoma and Kansas. Converted at age 12, Stanfill began preaching at 22 in revival meetings and later served pastorates in Florida, Pennsylvania, and Texas. At age 17, he wrote his first gospel song and traveled for several years with evangelists, playing the piano, organ, ukulele, and accordion. Ira Stanfill began to write his own gospel hymns, and he employed the unusual practice of creating a text from titles suggested from the congregation during a service. He would explain, "The basic reason I have written songs is that I love God and Christ has loved me. Most of my songs are the outgrowth of real experiences with Christ. I think they appeal to people because I have had trials, heartaches, and sorrow in my own life, and I know what I write about." Well, this song I want you to listen to, another one by Ira Stanfill, is entitled "Room at the Cross." It was a title suggested to Ira Stanfill back in 1946 at one of his meetings. He wrote it on a scrap of paper, which he found in his pocket after returning home. Impressed with the title, he quickly wrote both words and music as they appear today. Since then, the song has been recorded by numerous Christian artists, translated into Spanish, German, and Italian, and was used as the closing theme of the national broadcast Revival Time for many years. Only eternity will reveal the number who have been directed to Christ through this one gospel hymn. A hymn that reminds us that there is always room at the cross for one more sinner. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. And dear friend, if there's someone listening to the broadcast today, right now, you're not a Christian. Maybe you've had a lot of successes in life. Maybe you are strong in many areas. But when it comes to your walk with God, you're a failure. You don't know God. You've never surrendered your heart and life to Him. And there is a void, a vacuum in your heart. Along with all the money and luxuries that you can enjoy, there is a longing in your heart that only God can fulfill. Why don't you, this very moment, wherever you are, just right now, humble your heart before God and just pray, "Dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, make yourself real to me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Forgive me my sins. Lord, fill me with your presence, your spirit, with your power right now. I come to the cross. I know there's still room for one. And I want to be that one. I come to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen."
The cross upon which Jesus died is the shelter in which we can hide. And its grace is so free and sufficient for me.
Well, I've enjoyed being with you as we share together in devotions. This is John Thrasher. Have a good day. God bless you.
The hand of my Savior is strong.